That's true. Let's see. If you're like me, you always have to put on your eyes. And
okay, good. Well, good morning. It's good to be here, and I thank you for the invitation. I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to stand before you once again. It's been not that long, actually, and I appreciate all of you. I want to thank you for your prayers. That's something I want to be sure to say that, because we certainly need prayers. I think all of us do, and I appreciate very much. You're very kind. Now, to get to the business, what the devil sees in your marriage, and this seems like a mean-spirited lesson, but it's really not. Do I know some magic thing? No, I don't. Glenn and I have been married 41 years, and we understand things about each other, and we know when not to cross each other. Well, most of the time. But anyway, the thing is, though, is that the Lord is very plain about some of these things, and I know that, as you can see on the board here, Luke 14, verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Well, some rejoice and say, well, good, see, I don't have to hate my wife. I said, no, that's not what he means. That's not at all what he means. That doesn't mean that. That's not what he means. He means that you have to put Jesus first. Now, what happens in marriage, and it's very important that if you put Jesus first, then you won't have to worry about everything else, because it will all fall in place. If you answer the Lord, if you answer to the Lord, and your marriage is based on God's Word, and you yourself are adamant and you're very consistent to seek the Lord and to pray together, it will build. Your family will build. I don't know, and Joe knows as well as I do, we see much destruction of marriages in this land, in this world, in the church. We see it. And I have found out myself, and I'm sure Joe has too, that one of the great contributing factors to that is just self-seeking, selfishness, just the fact of just self-centered. And it really is very sad, because, you know, when you tell that young girl or you tell that young man that you love them, I love you, I love you, I love you. I say, yeah, but you haven't, I tell the young girl, I say, yeah, but you haven't picked up his underwear yet, and you haven't cleaned up after him. You have no idea what love really is. And I said, and to the husband, I said, yeah, you're saying that, and the first time she crosses you, and I said, you're dead meat. I said, there's problems, because you're going to answer wrong, and there's going to be troubles. I said, this is what happens, but we grow up in the Lord, as we do as Christians. We grow up in families, as husbands and wives. And it's just not we learn how not where to step or how where to go. We in serving the Lord, we grow up individually. And we become more patient with each other in a lot of different ways. And hopefully, I'll do this right. Is it the right side rather than I push? Oh, good. Well, what do you think the devil sees in your marriage? Does he see an opportunity? And that's what this lesson is all about. Does the devil see an opportunity in your marriage? I ask the same question to my own self. Does the devil see an opportunity to seize upon? Because you see, he watches all of us individually as Christians, and he also watches the church, and he watches his marriages too. He watches parents. The devil is always there, and he wants to destroy you. And we're talking about the devil, because a lot of times preachers don't preach about the devil. I know Joe does, but I know that people aren't thinking quite right about their enemy. And their enemy, he doesn't want you to get along. In fact, he doesn't want you to be understanding at all. The devil wants you to live for yourself, and he wants you to be selfish, and he wants you to just, my way or the highway. That's kind of how it works. It's exactly how it works. Notice with me, let's turn to, in your Bibles, to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Here we hear the Apostle Paul, who I was reminded by a Mormon couple for 4 hours on that flight to here. Yeah, I said, do you understand Ephesians? Well, of course, you know, I know what they understand about a lot of things, but that's okay, because at least they were willing to listen, and I was thankful for that. And that was a good thing. It's a good thing. So I enjoy when people are willing to sit down and listen and just, you know. Okay, in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in the 17th verse, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all in cleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as truth is in Jesus. that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another, or of one another. Be angry. The 26th verse says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Now, the reason I came up with this lesson is because the devil's always looking for a chink in the armor. He's looking for a place, a weakness in the marriage. He's going to go there. He's going to take you there with you if you listen to him, if you go along with that. If you're not listening to the Lord, you're not following the Word of God, you're going to be in trouble. The devil's going to have you. Be angry. Not wrong to be angry. I tell young couples, and older couples too, when I talk with them about their marriage or about marriage in general, that they need to remember that you can be angry, but sin not. Neither let the sun go down in your wrath. That is, don't let it go to another day. I can confidently tell you that in 41 years, Glenn and I have absolutely not let a day go by that we kept something to the next day. We just didn't do it. Now, some people ask me, how did you last 41 years? I said, it's easy. You just trust the Lord and go forward and love your wife, love your husband, love each other, love the children. Do the things that are right in the sight of the Lord. It is one of the foundations of the church. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But and it's His church, you know. But the foundation, some of the foundation of the church is absolutely the marriage, the marriage relationship and the wife. Why do you think the devil goes after marriage? Why do you think we have so much upheaval about marriage, divorce, remarriage? For that very reason. Because the devil knows that if he can destroy a marriage, if he can destroy the home of a Christian or Christians, he can stop elders from ever being. He can stop preachers from ever being. He can stop the wives who would serve as faithfully by their husband's side as elders, and the wives that would faithfully to the sides of deacons and also preachers, and that they would be done in, and that the church would come to its knees, as it is today, by the way. It is that way. And so we need to turn around and be positive and go forward and fight the good fight of faith. Brethren, I'm here to help us see something that we've forgotten. If God is with us, who can be against us? If we seriously love the Lord and read His Word and follow His Word, it won't matter who's first or last. It's just that God will be first. Jesus will be first. And we'll make sure our children see that. What's important. That's what builds the marriage relationship. Be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And again, if you let the sun go down your wrath, and I want to accentuate that because that's what happens in marriages. You let the sun go down your wrath. You hold things against each other that you should have forgotten it long ago. Why in the world would you drag that stuff up? You think you're going to win a battle? You know, in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, you know, she's your flesh, and she's your flesh and your blood. She is you, or she is you're one. And what happens to one happens to the other. And this is what happens. But if we understand the Lord and understand the attack the devil's making, perhaps it'll help us to be a little more patient for just a moment and listen. I know that's an important thing. I haven't been very listening in my life as a husband. I'm learning. Yes, in the context of this passage, can Paul only be talking about when you're meeting with the church? You know he's talking about marriage too. He's talking about every aspect of your life. It's not just in the church. People go through and they systematically call out certain things. They say, well, that's to the church, that's the individual. And they're right. Some things are definitely to the individual and they're definitely to the church. But there's some of these things that are basic principles that stand with everyone, with everything. And you know, when you look at it that way, you begin to realize that this is talking to me, and that's what you need to do. When you're reading God's Word, that's talking to me. You know, I was warned by a preacher once. He said, son, he said, don't starve to death as a preacher. I said, well, the brethren feed me pretty well. I don't, what do you mean? He said, no, all you do is you study to prepare sermons. You study to prepare lessons, Bible classes, but don't forget to study for yourself. He said, because when you do that, you don't just cheat the brethren, you cheat yourself. Because you who would save others, you better save yourself. How are you going to do that without God's Word? One of the greatest things is that the devil says you can't understand the Bible. That's not true at all. Well, isn't it about recognizing in your life what is making you angry? And I'm going to accentuate this because I believe this is a very important part of this lesson. Do you know why you're angry? It is not sinful to be angry, but are you giving place to the devil by being angry over something in your marriage? Have you really let it get a hold of you that much that you're not listening to each other? What's happened? I mean, I don't have a microphone in your bedroom, okay? I just don't. But I'll tell you something. I know what the Bible teaches, and I see this in marriages over and over again. And what does the devil see in your marriage? Well, do you ever ask yourself the question, why am I angry? And I'm going to say it again. And even in life as a Christian, do you ever ask that question? Because I get angry. But if I could just remember for a moment to ask the question, well, why are you angry, Dennis, really? Are you angry because you think you were cheated? You think somebody didn't recognize you? You should have been recognized. Is that the reason why you're angry, Dennis? What is the reason you're so angry? I said, well, it's pretty much just about myself, probably. And many times it is. One of the greatest things to learn as you get older is not to take it personally. Wow, what a wonderful thing. You know why? Because the second important to that is it's not all about me. Which sometimes you think that. Now in marriage you do think that. Oh, mercy. Because he did this, and she did this, and they did this because of this, this, and this. No, that's not why they did it at all. You're attributing things to each other that don't belong there. And that's how the devil works. He'll put things in your mind and make you think, well, if it's gone this far, it'll go this far. I know, talking with a young couple that I had baptized the husband into Christ, and they were a very wonderful couple, wonderful, wonderful couple. And their marriage was, they could not have children, but they were very faithful, and they were very kind, and they were very kind to the children. There are many good things you can do. Even if you don't have children, you can take care of other people. But the thing was, though, is that then in their marriage, 2 or 3 years into their marriage, she found out that he had been on drugs for a very long time. And he still hadn't kicked the habit either. He still was. And I remember her voice of despair. She said, oh, she said, Dennis, it's ruined. It will never be right. And I said, that's just as wrong as it could possibly be. I said, because God's word is powerful enough to change anyone, anywhere, at any time, if they're listening. If they're just listening, if they're willing to make the application to themselves and not to everybody around them, but to themselves, they'll do better. They'll be stronger. They'll be strong just for the Lord before all those around them. They'll be a bright and shining light as they ought to be. This is the thing. And you know what? That young man, he did kick that habit. And in fact, he, first time I met him, somebody said, Dad, you met him? I said, no. He said, I just hear he used to come down to his waist. I said, well, okay, so he's got a haircut now, so I guess it's okay. You know. And he later teach Bible class. He was wonderful. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's the story. That's the way it works. It's a good thing. Good to know Christians. It's good to be with Christians. Brethren, we need to stop looking at the world. We need to look at each other. Look to the Lord. Be strong for each other. But many times we're not truthful with ourselves concerning the true answer to the question. So neither give place to the devil, which I've already beat that like a dead horse. The devil will see who or what you put first in your marriage, as will your mate and your children. They will always see what you're putting first. And many times the things that you put first are based on what made you angry. We are an angry people. And you say, well, Dennis, I'm not angry. No, just let somebody cross you. We'll see how it goes. I know you may not know Larry Haefeli, but I know Mo, and I asked Mo one day, I said, you know, you grew up with Larry Haefeli, what was that like? I said, did you ever cross him? He said, if I could help it, I never did. I said, I understand why. That was scary. Larry's scary. But anyway, the point of it is that sometimes in marriage, well, the devil now sees you replacing the wisdom of God for what you think is right as you fight to gratify yourself above your mate. So if there's trouble in your marriage, well, we need to look up the reruns of Oprah, because Oprah's going to help us, see. No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. Well, maybe Dr. Dobson will help us. No, not at all. I think he's going to help you. God's Word. God's Word is where you need to go. You'll hear this all this week. It's God's Word. Someone said, to me the other day, they said, Dennis, I was in a business meeting, and these guys, they're talking about, about how they're going to, review the preacher. They're going to review the preacher. And he said, and I knew that was wrong, but I didn't know what to say. And I said, you know what you say, brother, next time you got that? He said, what do you say? I said, where's the book, chapter, and verse for what you're doing? He said, man, I wish I thought of that. I said, it's hard to think when the devil's got you by the throat. It's hard to react the way you're supposed to. It's difficult. But really, brethren, that's the answer. What does the Bible say? It's simple, isn't it? It might be too simple, but it's not. The devil now has a place to stand so he can destroy your friendship with your mates. You know that, don't you? When you do these things, when you are fighting to gratify yourself and to be right, oh, mercy, that's the one. Isn't that the one? How many times have I heard one mate say to the other, you just always have to be right. I said, whoa, wait a minute. So you're always right about them always having to be right? That's kind of like people say, you're so judgmental. I said, well, how do you judge that? And it's about the same difference. You'll think it through for a minute. You'll see that's what it is. That it's either people aren't listening to themselves what they're saying. It's really scary. 1 Corinthians 13, here's a good place. Very good place to go. Okay. I'll put my eyes on so I can see what I'm doing here. That's always good. 1 Corinthians 13. Here's what we have. Okay. We're going to start with the fourth verse, which you may think that's ugly, but we're going to start with the fourth verse. We're going to read to the seventh verse. Love suffers long. That doesn't mean that, that if you're in love, you have to suffer long. That's not what that means. Love that suffers long is that which it waits through the unforgiving moment and listens and thinks the best of the other. That's not easy to do. But that's what love suffers long. And it's kind. Love is kind. I've seen people in the world who are kinder to each other, even in the church, than some husbands and wives to each other. The first lesson that I teach from the scriptures when I'm talking with a couple, and I say to them, I said, what is wrong in your marriage is that you've lost respect for each other. That's what's wrong. You've lost respect for God and His Word, and you've lost respect for each other. Now, I'm not going to be able to do a lot of things, but I can be respectful. Now, you think about that for a minute, because a lot of people are not respectful. They're ready to answer. They're ready to... No, listen. Be respectful. Be kind. Think it through. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. There you go. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. And in that part, love suffers long. It's kind. Love does. It does not envy. And then it says it does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, that is, does not keep a record of accounts of wrongs. The New American Standard Version says keep account of wrongs. You know, you get these arguments between husband and wife, and I try not to get between those two when they're arguing. It's not a good place to be. And I say to them, I said, okay, so let me see what's going on here. So you're saying that you said to her that she did this in 1980. No, I said, oh, I see. So you keep account of wrongs. You got this little black book and you whip it out. Well, just remember, I've got the proof on you. I know how you are. And so I whip it out and I go, yeah, I'm justified. No, you're not. That's ridiculous. You act like you died for everybody's sins or something. Who do you think you are? Anyway, really. You know, this is the thing that amazes me. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. You know what that thing means, does not rejoice in iniquity? That means that when she makes a mistake, you go, I knew that's how you are. That's your wife you're talking about. Or it's your husband you're talking about. What in the world? Is this a contest between the two of us? Who's going to win? Let me guarantee you, the only one that will win will be the devil. He's the only one that will win in this argument. You cannot win that argument. You'll never win that argument. You're looking at the wrong things. You're not respectful. You're not listening. Well, I can say that with conviction because, brothers and sisters, I've been married 41 years. And I know what I've seen. I know what the scriptures teach. And I understand this. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. It rejoices when one of us falls, the other picks the other up, and we go forward. That's what it's about in marriage, especially in the Lord. Oh, yes, in the Lord, that's what it is. It bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, and it endures all things. And that means, my friend, that you're married, whether it's happy or sad, whether they're in good health or not good health, you stand by their side. You stand by their side. So I ask the question, have you abandoned the precepts of 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7? Have you abandoned the precepts? Well, I guess that's it, Joe. I lost those slides. Okay. Well, the question is, though, that I remember what the slide's about. Have you lost sight of it? Have you lost sight of those things that I just repeated to you? We have many times because we begin to serve the Lord according to what we think is right or what human wisdom dictates, and it will never turn out right. You've got to have the Word of God behind you. You've got to have book, chapter, and verse. And by that, I don't mean quote to your spouse or your mate to quote to your spouse what the Bible says. Because rarely when you quote something to somebody that you know they're wrong in, they never hear you. They don't listen to what you're saying. I can't hear you for how loud your voice is. I've had people call me up on my phone, and they shouted on my phone. And I said, this is my phone. In this household, you're not allowed to shout on my phone. So if you lower your voice and act more like an adult. I'm saying this to a high school teacher, actually, who was upset with one of my sons of dating her daughter. I understand being upset about that, but you got no right to get on my phone and shout, because I don't hear shouting. I never have. I do hear people who respectfully, and I respectfully will talk about these things. And that's what you don't agree with what I'm saying. That's fine. Come see me. Talk with me. Let's sit down with the Bible. And Joe, I was telling somebody a while ago. I said, but if you're going to sit down and talk with me, it better be a Bible question. So there are a lot of people who have a lot of questions, but they're not Bible questions. See, you need to get back to the Bible, and that's what this is about. Now, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. It's the last part of the verse that's very scary. Because a husband and wife think, well, we just don't get along. No. If your husband does not dwell with his wife in an understanding way, and he accentuates, well, the weaker vessel. No, it just means she's in a weaker position. Doesn't mean she's weaker in mind. In fact, she's probably thinking better than you are, if you're listening. You know, I preach this day, I preach this lesson, and what happens is the men, they go out and they're holding their signs, you know. Hello, everyone. I said, they said, boy, you really took care of us. I guess so. I said, I don't know. You can't win on this kind of a lesson. It's kind of thinking a dog by the ears. You can't win in this thing. You can't win. You will not please everybody. And I don't care if I please anybody but the Lord. Because that's all I'm going to please. But do you know your Bible? Do you understand, husbands, how you're supposed to live with your wife? Well, I live with her in an understanding way if I have to. It kind of reminds me of these brethren I've met before. I said, well, what about Brother So-and-so? Don't you love Brother So-and-so? Well, yeah, I love them, but I don't have to like them. And I went, what? No, I love them, but I don't have to like them. Listen, in a marriage relationship, you better like your wife. You better like your husband. I have to love you. Wrong. You know, this is an attitude. It's ugly. It's an ugly attitude. And you know, I'll tell you what, if I treated my brothers and sisters at home like that, my mom, she beat the tar out of us. He says, no, you're not going to act like that. I'm glad Mama did that. That's a good thing. She helped me a lot. I was a hard child to deal with. You have no idea. I lived before ADHD. And I guarantee you, I was ADHD to the maximum. Oh, you think I am now? Oh, you could be right. You could be right. Because I'm very distractible. But I'll tell you something. I know that if you love each other in the Lord as a husband and wife, your children will know that. And they will see that marriage is a wonderful thing and a good thing. If they don't see that, and it may be the fault of one and not the other, I don't get into that argument. What I'm saying to you is that we as Christians, we are the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world, but we are the bright and shining light. And we set the pattern, if you will, in our lives as Christians for what God wants in a marriage. And when that doesn't happen, the devil has a field day. The devil gains ground. Go back. Colossians 3:19. And that's what we were reading a while ago. But listen to Colossians 3:19. Come on. Bear with me here. Colossians 3:19, the statement. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. That's another one of those things where the husband, his wife has to please him. So he says, oh, it's never right. It's never going to be right. Well, you're right. If you say that, it probably won't be. Because you already torpedoed your marriage before you got started. He's not listening. Not listening to the Lord. Husbands, not listening. Wives, that verse right before that. Look at what it says. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. That means if your husband asks you to do something and it's against the will of God, you're not supposed to do it. Not at all. Not at all. You serve the Lord. You serve the Lord God. And hopefully a husband will never ask his wife to do something that's wrong. I remember a time in the New Testament, Acts the 5th chapter, where a husband asked his wife to do wrong. Ananias and Sapphira. He asked his wife to do wrong. And she went right along with it. And guess what? She died along with him too, didn't she? See how that works? Better take a stand. In your marriage. And the husband isn't doing wrong. Maybe the wife's not doing right. I don't know. But you better know that marriage, Hebrews 13 verse 4, belongs to God. It is God's. That relationship belongs to God. It's His mercy on mankind that He gave us marriage. It is indeed that we might not be alone. That we might grow up together. Not just be together, but grow up together. Grow up together. That's the key to it. Because that maturity is what you need. And the devil's coming to see if that maturity is in place. And if it's not in place, then he's going to have a field day with you. He's going to destroy you. Because that's what he does. I can say confidently, and I know Joe can too, we've sat through too many sessions and too many marriages where we've seen destroyed by the devil. We know what this is about. We've seen it. And brethren, you do too. Many of you older Christians, you know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. If you're a younger Christian, you probably already understand part of this. But I'll tell you what, as time goes on, it's difficult. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now I'm saying that because in the marriage relationship, if you have children and you're blessed by the Lord with children, children can become a source of idolatry, which parents must guard against for the sake of their child. And if one parent is treating the child like an idol, and the other says, no, that's not right, you got a great division. And listen, children live to drive wedges between mom and daddy. They just live to do that. They're looking for a weakness. You might think they're of the devil, wouldn't you? They're not. They're not. I didn't say they're innocent. Now, please, don't push me that far. But the thing about it is, though, is that we are the adults. It makes me sick to my stomach when I hear somebody say, well, I'm just trying to be a good pal, a good friend. You can't be a... You're a parent. You can't be a good friend or a pal or a buddy. Are you kidding me? You're the parent, for crying out loud. What you're supposed to say to them is what they do not want to hear. Because you love them and you know better than they do. Well, I don't know. I let my child guide me. Well, then you're in trouble. Because your child needs you to be a guide to them. They need you to be strong. And to say the thing that you know is going to make them unhappy. I always use this example of my daughter Sandy, who now is 35 years old. And when she was a little girl, 4 years old, and I spanked her for doing something, and she had this big, her lip, big eye, an eye, teardrop going down her face, you know. And I said, what's wrong, Sandy? Because I just spanked her. I said, what's wrong, Sandy? He says, Daddy, I can't be Daddy's girl anymore. And I said, honey, then that's too bad, because I guess you won't be Daddy's girl. Because my girl is going to do the right thing. You know. And sure enough. It's good, isn't it? It's good. Look at 1 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 7. Turn over there with me, please. Now, you say, well, where in the world did this come from? Talking about elders. No, we're talking about men and women. We're talking about what it takes to get to this point. So there can be elders in the church. To get to this point, brethren, the devil is assassinating us along the way to where we should be in the growth and the maturity of the Lord. In 1 Timothy 3, in verse 1 through 7, this is the faithful saying: if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, that's self-control, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his house, how will he take care of the church of God? And I want you to look at this thing for a minute here. And I said, through seven, we're going to stop there. Because he says, one who rules his house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. Well, I'm going to tell you something, brethren. You can stand and demand respect of your children all you want to, but they know who you are. And they know what you've done. And they know where you're coming from. Don't you even kid yourself about that for one moment. And I'll say this, that the wife, yeah, she's in subjection, but she's also a working part of that marriage. And she should be recognized for the hard work that she does and the sacrifices that she makes. And brethren don't do that. They're not doing that. And that's wrong. That's what leads to a lot of destruction in marriage, because men are not listening. They're not looking. They're just, I'm about myself. I'm going to go, of course, I live out in the country, so it's always hunting, or it's always fishing, or it's always something, you know. It's always something, right? Yeah. And they say, well, the wife's same way. She always has something. Those women over there, listen, brother. Every once in a while, it's nice to meet in the middle of someplace, you know, and talk with each other and actually get to know each other. Because you're so far apart from each other, you don't really. You know, because if there's something unpleasant, well, don't we just run the other direction? We don't really talk to each other. We just kind of get over here and we go, well, let's just, we can't get past this. Let's just get past it. And I'm thinking, well, that's not very good. Because that's the thing that festers. Do you have a relationship with a husband and wife? Do you have your relationship with each other that you can talk freely and plainly? Are you that in mind? Can you do that? If a man is blameless in Titus 1:6, blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. I didn't finish what I was saying a while ago. That you can demand respect from your family, you can demand respect from your wife, but you're not going to get it, neighbor, because it doesn't work like that. That is not how it works. You earn their respect, and the first lesson of earning their respect is to be respectful to them. And if you miss that point, go back and start again. Don't be too proud to say I was wrong. Don't be too proud to say I went the wrong direction and I led you in the wrong way. We need to go back and start this again. Oh yeah. Parents can do that. They really can. I know they think the children think, well, they never sin. There's no, that's not true at all. If children knew what we were really like, it's pretty scary. We hope they don't. But the truth is, though, is that they see it in us and they know what's important to us. And that's why been saying along the way here. And that's all. Wow, Joe. 3 minutes to spare. No, 7 minutes to spare. Okay. No, I'll not take questions. Because I don't know every answer. But no, I really don't. I think it's important to us to understand, though, that I truly believe the devil attacks marriage because he knows the power that the church will have with faithful elders and faithful deacons and faithful preachers. He knows. And if he can't destroy them individually, he'll destroy the marriage. That's what he'll do. It's the first thing he takes aim at. Don't you know that's true? Because somebody says, well, marriage, that's really sticky wicked. I say, you bet your life it is. And the devil makes it so. So nobody wants to approach it or nobody wants to talk about it. But brethren, we better start talking about it with each other, at least with our mate. We need to start getting back to the Bible and praying together and reading God's Word together and making application for the Scriptures to ourselves and not just to others. Oh, listen, I was raised up in the church. I was raised up in a family where we had fried bride preacher and roast elder every Sunday. Every Sunday we had fried elder, roast preacher. Or is it roast preacher and fried elder? I don't, but one of those ways. And you know, and so I grew up thinking the church belonged to me. And guess what? It doesn't. It belongs to Jesus. Oh, wait a minute. What's that got to do with marriage? You think your marriage belongs to you. Oh, honey, it doesn't. It belongs to God. So be respectful and think about these things. And I guess I seem like I'm here to beat up somebody, but really I have no one in mind at all. I've preached in several places. I've had different ones who came to me and they said, man, how did you know? I said, I don't know what you're talking about, but I do know what the Bible teaches. And I know there's a pathway that's right. And I understand that you can have a marriage that's so wonderful and so great and so powerful, the devil can't touch it. He won't go near it. Because you resist him in your love one for another. And that's the way it's to be in the church too. You resist the devil by your love one for another. Not by, well, oh, I need to be recognized here. That's baloney, man. That's just wrong. Don't you see that's what's happened to the church? The church, you know, an older gospel preacher, I asked him, I said, brother, I said, what is the greatest threat and problem in the church? What's the greatest problem that you've seen in your lifetime as a gospel preacher? He said, son, it's just one thing and one thing only. It's worldliness. He says, when you preach the gospel long enough, you'll finally realize it's worldliness. Because yes, you can get the Israelites out of Egypt, but can't get Egypt out of the Israelites. And you get people out of the world, but can't get the world out of them. Now that's how the devil rules it. We rail against the Israelites, oh, physical Israel, because they had pocket idols and they went to the promised land. And we rail against them, but guess what? We got pocket idols too, brethren, in many different ways. And guess what's so sad about that? Our children know it. They know exactly what we love and what we don't love. And they know when a husband and a wife and a mom and dad don't love each other. They know that. You know what it gets me? I've got a little time here. It is I'm overwhelmed many times by the fact of all the sermons I've ever heard on marriage. Well, not only is always marriage, it's always remarriage, but just marriage. You know, that they never stopped, especially in marriage, divorce, remarriage, they never stopped talking about the children. Do you ever wonder why they don't do that? It's too overwhelming to think of the damage that it does to the children. Well, what do you think, brother and sister in Christ, and your marriage isn't working out? Who does it hurt? It hurts everybody around you. That's why when I pray for couples, when I have performed a marriage ceremony, when I pray for them, I pray that they will be a blessing for everyone around them. And if your marriage is not a blessing, you need to ask yourself why. Because we should be a blessing to those around us. You know, blessing means happy. They should be happy. You know, well, they're always accusing me. Of course, they'll always be there. The detractors are always there. Does that give you an excuse not to do God's will? Does it give you an excuse? Well, she just don't know what she's like. I said, well, I probably don't, but I know how you're supposed to be. You know, haven't you heard this before? Well, marriage, it's a two-way highway. It's a two-way highway. No, it's not. It's a 100% this way and 100% that way, because if your mate doesn't do what's right, you still must do what's right. Regardless. Same thing the other way. You're to pick up the slack, neighbor. That's what this is about. We're fighting a battle. This is not just a parlor, you know, discussion. We're talking about fighting the devil. We are Christians, soldiers of Christ. And we're to stand up for what is right, come what may. Come what may, doesn't matter. Because I'm going to serve the Lord, come what may. Because without that attitude, my friend, the devil has you. He'll take you where you do not want to go. He'll do damage to you. It's not repairable in some cases, but it is repairable as far as repentance, thank the Lord. But still, don't you see what we're talking about? Well, it's interesting to me that that's about it. Brother Joe, shall we close with a prayer? Would you please? Yes, sir.
Holy God in heaven, we are thankful that you have arranged marriage for your creation that blesses us and provides us opportunities of service to each other and you. Help us, Father, to give no place to the devil in our hearts and our lives and our marriages. And that we might honor you by honoring our mates. Love one another, and in so doing, serve you. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity of study and meditation upon your word. Continue with us, Father, as we wait before you, as I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.